After burying my father-in-law yesterday, I bring you a message today that comes out of the overflow of the living water of God's Word I was immersed in preparing to preach his funeral. It was difficult, as you can imagine, but it was a joy to study for and preach the funeral message of a man I love, not only as a close family member, but as a brother in Christ. I was able to preach in and about the joy of his hope in being a Christian, in belonging to Jesus Christ. It was not only a great comfort and reason for celebration to our other family members that are also Christians, it was also a great testimony to the family and friends that were there that are not Christians. I was able to testify on his behalf very clearly his reasons for being a Christian, what motivated him to come to Christ, what made him a Christian in his believing in Christ, and his hope in being a Christian as he now lives in Christ. He has life after his death, and he is looking forward to the day when he will have life without death, as we all are. And it was a joy to my heart to be able to clearly preach that and testify to that truth to both lost and saved in our family and friends yesterday. All go down to die, without exception. Death comes to us all. The author of Hebrews makes it crystal clear. Everyone is appointed once to die and then face judgment. Everyone. Now, except for those that are alive at the Lord's return, everyone's final destination, no matter what their station in life might be, no matter how big of a success or how terrible of a failure, everyone's final destination is a grave. As Solomon points out in Ecclesiastes, the strong and the weak, the wise and the foolish, the rich and the poor, all end their journey through this life in a cemetery, without exception. So how we face that reality, how we face death, is an important part of our walk with the Lord and an important part of our witness to this world. How we face death as Christians. In this message, we are going to look at how we face death as Christians. We see three primary points from this passage I want to draw your attention to this morning. We face death with different grief. We face death with the hope of our resurrection and reunion. And we face death with the mutual comfort of this truth. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Where Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." First, we face death with different grief. Verse 13, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest of those who have no hope. We face death with different grief. Paul says he does not want us to be uninformed. I find it unfortunate that so many people, let me take it for granted that most of them are Christians. I think some people professing to be Christians come to this issue that aren't really saved. So they're already off base. But I find it unfortunate some of the things I see being written and hear being said by Christians coming to face death who seem to be so uninformed about what is going on with the dead, about what the truth about the dead really is. Or as Paul says here, those who are asleep. He doesn't use the word for the dead. He uses a euphemism, a figure of speech. Those who are asleep. And we should be naturally taking that to be a figure of speech for something that is temporary. Somebody who is asleep will eventually do what? Wake up. He says he does not want us to be uninformed about those who are sleeping the sleep of death. We need to have the truth at our fingertips, having seen it, examined it, learned it, and understanding it. We need to come to this issue of death well educated, well informed. Shirley was going through songs that she was thinking about having played at her dad's funeral. And she asked me about listening to one of them, wanted me to listen to it to see what I thought. And I said, I told her, I'll be fine with it as long as it's truthful. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, as long as it's talking about things that are true. Because you know how people are. They just come up with things to write and say whether they know it's true or not. And that's not helpful. We need to understand and grab onto what is actually true. Paul says, don't be uninformed. Do not go to this issue of death not understanding these realities. So that, here's the reason, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We face death with different grief. Christians are to grieve differently than the lost world. With the truth in hand and in heart, being well informed and well spiritually educated on this issue of death, we should be able to grieve differently than those that do not have the hope that we have. There should be something different about how we mourn those who have passed before us. There should be something hopeful in our grief. There should be a joy infused into our grief, I think is what Paul is drawing us in close to see. Because he's contrasting us here. We're grieving with hope. How are they grieving? They're grieving with no hope. Well, there should be a drastic difference between us and how we face death, right? Second, we face death with the hope of our resurrection and reunion. Verses 14 through 17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. That is the hope of our resurrection and our reunion. Now let's break this down a little bit. Let's step through these four verses I just read to you. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," if we really believe that, if we're convinced of that truth, that has to affect how we face death. If we face death, are we not facing it as Christians, believing in the one that conquered death? If we believe that Jesus did die and did what else? Rose again. You see, the gospel is not the gospel without that last part of that statement. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose again out of that tomb. He came back from the grave. So should it not affect how we face our own graves, believing in the one that conquered his own grave? That should put a whole different perspective on it for us, shouldn't it? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. There's that language of sleep again. Those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Who is he talking about? He's talking about dead Christians. He's talking about those that have gone into the grave, having closed their eyes for the last time in this world, in Jesus. Saved people. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Now we need to follow Paul's line of thinking here. The assurance of Jesus' resurrection should lead us to the assurance of Jesus' return with those that are with him. Right? With those that are with him. Now let's understand this. This is what so many people don't understand. This is one of the places where they're not informed. What happens to the saved when they die? The body goes in the ground, but where is the spirit? In the presence of Jesus. With the Lord. So what I told them at Curtis's funeral yesterday, Curtis is still alive. He's still alive. He's just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he's absent from his body and at home with the Lord. He's in the presence of Jesus. He's with Jesus. He is right now experiencing the direct, unfiltered presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of the Father. And one day, God is going to send Jesus back to this earth. And guess who's coming with him? My father-in-law is coming with him. My wife's daddy is coming with him. My son's granddaddy, Bull, is coming with him. And so are all the others, down through all the millennia that have ever died, that have ever fallen asleep in him. They're all coming back with him. Now, verses 16, 15 and 16. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." Okay, this is an assurance. This is the word given from the Lord Jesus to Paul. "That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." He gives us right there the assurance and the order of the resurrection. The final resurrection. That's what he's talking about there. By the word of the Lord. This is a word from the Lord. This is not Paul's own musings. Paul is not pulling this out of the air. This is important for us today because people love to use their imaginations when it comes to the issues of the afterlife. All the books being written, all the songs being written that don't have an ounce of truth in them. Paul is saying, I'm giving you a word from God here. This is an inspired word from the Lord. This is not my own imagination. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, some will not die before Jesus' return. Some will not experience physical death and being buried in the ground when the Lord comes back. There will be people alive on this earth when Jesus returns. It may be this decade, it may be tomorrow, it may be next year, it may be next century, it may be next millennia. We don't know. We don't know the times and the epochs. Jesus says the Father has seen fit not to reveal that to us. We don't know when He's coming. But there will be some who are alive and remaining at that moment. And He says they will not precede those who have fallen asleep. What does He mean by that? He means that their resurrection, there will be a resurrection even for those that are alive. They will go through the transition. They will be changed. From Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15, they will be changed from being mortal to immortal. They will be changed from being perishable to imperishable in the blink of an eye. They will be given their glorified bodies. But he says here that they will not precede those who have fallen asleep. What he's saying there is those who are already dead in Jesus, those who have already died, fallen asleep in Jesus, now with Him, will get their glorified bodies before the ones that are alive do. They will experience their resurrection first. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Okay, He will be announced. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Everybody going about their business, running up and down the roads, going about their jobs, cleaning house, washing their cars, whatever they might be doing at this time, whenever that time's going to be, and all of a sudden, you hear Michael the archangel boom out over all the earth and sound that trumpet as the Lord Jesus steps out on His cloud in the east. And flashes, as He says elsewhere, flashes like lightning does from the east to the west. It's going to be beyond description. An incredible moment. And at that instant, verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. I want you to imagine what it'll be like driving down the highway or down a dirt road next to one of those big cemeteries full of hundreds of people when that shout comes from Michael and the trumpet is blasted, heard all around the world, and you see the ground just burst open with those resurrected, glorified dead coming alive. Just use your imagination. Again, what an incredible moment it's going to be. Verse 17, then, it's the turn of those that are still alive. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Guys, we are looking forward to, at the final great resurrection, we are looking forward to the greatest family reunion that has ever happened in human history. Imagine the millions of us rising together to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be a cloud of people that you can't see the end of. Imagine what that'll be like. And we will be caught up by the Lord together to meet Him in the air in His permanent presence. We will always be with Him in His direct presence direct physical presence in the new heavens and the new earth from that time and forevermore. Well, what's the point of catching us up in the air? Let me tell you what Paul is speaking from here. In ancient times, in his time, a conquering army would be out on the battlefields doing their conquering. When it was time for the army to come back home, they would come and they would send messengers ahead of them announcing their return. And they would tell people in the city, they did this in Rome, this was a big deal in Rome. They would tell people in the city, get ready, the general is bringing his army. And the people would get ready, they would get their party ready, they would get the festivities ready. And so far outside the gate, somebody would be keeping watch, and when they saw them come into sight, they would holler, they're coming. They would open the gates, and almost the whole city would flood out the gates to meet the conquering army, the victorious army, to escort them back into the city. That's what Paul is referring to here. The Bible is clear that the Lord is not coming to just take all his people into some floating, heavenly, invisible city. We're looking forward to, Peter says it clearly, we're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The kingdom of heaven will fill the universe as we know it. Paul says in Romans that God will resurrect the entire cosmos. He will lift the curse. And Peter says he is going to wipe the earth clean with fire. He is going to burn the very elements down, starting it over to give it new life. It will be paradise restored. And when the Lord returns, we will have that great family reunion in the air after he resurrects us from the dead, from our graves. He will judge the world in his righteousness. He will purify it of all its wickedness. He will cleanse it with his fire of judgment. He will restore paradise, and we will escort him back to his throne on this earth. That's the picture here. Now, third and last, we face death with the mutual comfort of this truth. What does he say to do in verse 18? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. What words? The words we've just looked at, right? The words that we have just studied. Guys, we are not to let each other grieve alone in isolation. Death is real. It's painful. God knows that. In his wisdom, he has seen fit to let us go through the throes of death in this life. He has his reasons. But he expects us to take care of one another in doing it. He expects us to face death together. Not isolated from each other. We are not to let the discomfort of a painful situation keep us from comforting one another in that painful situation. I tell you, I'm so thankful for saved family and friends that were there for us after my father-in-law died. People who were there to put their arms around us. I was especially grateful for those that put their arms around my mother-in-law and my wife, because they're heartbroken. They needed somebody to step up to them and tell them, this is going to be all right. Not just because that's wishful thinking, but because we know the truth. We know the truth. We know how it ends. Set your hope on what God has promised. And it will be all right. We need to constantly keep each other comforted that way. We have to be there for one another. We face death with hope that gives us different grief than the world. We face death with hope that is fueled by the promise of the Lord to return, the risen Lord to return, to resurrect us and to reunite us. We face death with mutually comforting hope that is not mere wishful thinking, guys, not the figment of our imaginations, but the assurance of believing these words of truth. Rock solid truth for us to stand forever on. David says in Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That's what he says to God in prayer. And that's how we need to pray together. Yes, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And not one of us knows when the shadow will settle on us. I do not know when the shadow in this valley is going, God sees fit. When God sees fit, when that shadow is going to settle down on me. James tells us plainly, you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. Your life is just a vapor. It's a mist. And then it's gone. But I can say with full assurance, Father, I know I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I know my time is limited, but you know what, Father? I know my time is in your hands. I know I don't have to fear any evil because I know you're with me. We need to remind each other. He's with us. He's with us in this. This is not outside of his control. He's got this. He's got us. We need to say to one another, he has you. He has you right where he wants you, in his hands. David says elsewhere in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Now that's a strange thing. If you say something like that to a lost person, they're going to think you're crazy. Listen to it again. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the deaths of his godly ones. Precious, valuable, weighty, having great value. That's what the word means. Why would he make such a statement? Because God does not see death the way we see death. What happens at death for the Christian? It's just simply a transition. To us, it feels so final. It feels so irreversible. But from God's perspective, what's happening? When the spirit leaves the body, he takes it into his own presence. Never again, ever, to be separated. That's the incredible thing for us to think about. That's what I think about when I think about Curtis being with the Lord. Do you realize that Curtis is experiencing the full presence of the Lord and he will never, ever experience anything less than the full direct presence of the Lord again? That's why his death was precious in the sight of God. Because he took him to be with himself. That's what we're looking forward to. That puts a whole different perspective on death, doesn't it? When it comes my time to close my eyes for the last time and breathe my last breath, I'm going out of this world and into the presence of my Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, that's the assurance that we need to offer to our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors that don't know him. That's the gospel. Death is an incredible opportunity to share the saving truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every funeral is an incredible opportunity to remind our, not only our saved brothers and sisters, but our lost neighbors, our lost family, our lost friends, you need to come to Jesus to have this hope. Please, think about where you are with God and give your life to Christ. That's our message to a lost and dying world. Let's pray, and then I'll ask you to tarry to sing one more verse from our hymn before we leave. Father, we thank you for these words of truth that we have to live by and face death with. How blessed we are to be your children, to know what awaits us when it comes that time for us to pass from this world into your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making the way for us through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is just a shadow for us. It has no power over us. It has no grip on us. It cannot keep us because it could not keep you. You are our life. Help us live it. Help us live each day with you, filling our hearts, overflowing in our lives and everything we say, think, and do. Make us strong, clear witnesses of the words that we have looked at today, the hope that we enjoy today. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Father, for your glory, by your Spirit. And all your people say, amen. Joshua.